Well, now we are going to discuss the techniques for effective interviewing. We've completed the eighth chapter, and these would be discussed as a part of the ninth chapter. Several things are going to be discussed here in this particular chapter, like the different techniques that we are going to employ, what kind of characteristics should an ideal interviewer possess, what are the things that need to be done before the interview. How to employ a selection committee, and so on. So these are a few of the important things. Let us look at some of these. What are the objectives that we are, going to understand? So as mentioned, the key characteristics of an effective interviewer. This is one of the important points that we are going to look at. The next is how to improve the interviewing skills and related aspects. So a methodical approach needs to be taken in order to improve certain skills. As mentioned in the previous chapter, we saw interviewing as an art in which the interviewer needs to understand a lot of things about the candidate. Interviewer needs to assess a lot of things about the candidate. So related things will be discussed here. Tips to be kept in mind for preparing the interview to interview a candidate. So what are the preparation efforts that go in for an interviewer in order to make the interview an effective process and a successful process, and of course process of conducting an interview and its steps. So all these critical points related to the conducting of an interview are discussed, would be discussed here. Of course, there would be certain overlaps from the previous chapter, which also had a lot of elements. We discussed there the phases of the interview, the steps involved. So, to some extent, for reiteration purposes, to reinforce the knowledge, we are going to repeat some elements in this chapter as well, and of course, lay more efforts and shed more light into the specific aspects of interviewing. So, let's proceed with the introductory part of this chapter. We need to understand that in order for the interview process to be extremely effective in terms of time and cost, in order for interviewers to make it a successful event, they need to establish what the job involves and the specific skills and attributes needed to perform successfully in the role. So exactly what are the specifications revolving around a key, a successful interviewer? This must be known. Another important factor is if an interviewer works from the perspective of the requirements cited in the job description, then definitely the interview is going to be a success, because the interviewer will then work from the perspective of what are the job descriptions for a particular position and ask questions, interview the candidate from that perspective, and in turn make the interview successful. So this is extremely quintessential that the person should understand what are the specific skills, what are the attributes required to perform successfully in this role, and also a deeper understanding of the job description which is to be interviewed, for which the candidate needs to be interviewed. Let's move ahead. Now, the interviewer can leverage the use of a selection committee, like the one which we've seen through a board of, panel of interviewers. So there might be a selection committee which might be involved in the interviewing process. So there is a need, as a part of the interviewing, before we interview, to choose a diverse selection committee. So people from diverse areas, from different areas, from a variety of, areas of expertise should be chosen when we consider the selection committee. This committee will ideally help you choose and pick the candidates which are best suited for the position and for the unit overall. They will have a consensus with them if they are, experts, if they understand the interviewing process well. They will definitely choose with a consensus. Vested interest in the responsibilities of the positions is an extremely important piece of action. Knowledge of the goals of the unit or office needs to be another important goal or objective while choosing the selection committee. Working relationships amongst these people need to be understood. as with the supervisory responsibilities and the campus interaction. So all these are certain expectations, certain criterion based on which you can choose a particular selection committee. Let's move on. Now there are certain responsibilities which the selection committee chairperson, there you can use a central person who is the main person who can spearhead this particular interviewing process. So there is a certain sense of responsibilities, a few key areas which we have cited here. The first part of the enlisting is provide the selection committee with selection criteria. The next being escort the candidate into the room, introduce the panel, put the applicant at ease, explain the interviewing process and ask the first question. So there needs to be a person who spearheads all this, this being the chairman or the main person, the head of the panel. So the responsibility is to de-stress the candidate, create a specific sense of a rapport with the candidate, bring the candidate to an ease or a level of comfort, and then they can start with the interviewing. Along with this, inform the candidate of the timeline for selecting a finalist and filling the position. The person is well informed about the timeline, and definitely post everything, close the interview. So these are all the responsibilities of the selection chairman, along with the responsibilities like the person being creating the maximum questions, asking the questions, controlling the way it goes, and asking for consensus. Let's move on. Now we come to the responsibilities of the selection committee. In the last slide, we looked at the responsibilities of the chairperson of the selection committee. Now in this slide, we are going to look at the responsibilities of the selection committee. As we know, a selection committee or a panel of interviewers is culled out from a group of experts. These experts have knowledge in their own fields. For example, some might be HR specialists who might ask questions related to the HR field in order to understand whether a person is, a long-term prospect, as in will stay for a long term or is prone to attrition. The production person, maybe if it's a manufacturing interview, wants to understand the knowledge of the quality related issues, the knowledge of manufacturing related terms, the basic manufacturing processes. So the responsibilities here would be to help develop interview questions based on the selection criteria as appropriate. So the kind of questions that these people are going to ask in this particular committee, so they will help come out with such specific and expert questions. Also be mindful of the legal guidelines pertaining to inappropriate questions. So certain inappropriate questions might invite lawsuits from the candidates, so they might also scrutinize and screen such legal guidelines. They are also there to screen certain characteristics, they are there to observe certain characteristics of each individual, they are there to come with a consensus post the interview about the particular score. So each individual expert would score the candidate and would ask questions pertaining to their field of expertise. So these are a few of the important ones that we have discussed here. It's basically very important to strategize, to create a plan. We've seen in the previous chapter that interviews do fail. Interviews bring in errors like the halo effect, errors like the comparison effect, errors like the first impression, and many other errors. So it's extremely important to have a set plan to understand the interview as a process. So we need to review the position description. As in the first slide I mentioned, interviews which are done from a job description point of view, that is a particular description comes or a particular requirement comes for a position, and then we match it with the skills, the personality, the attributes of the person, only then would a right match happen. So here we need to review the position description to identify what skills, what specific knowledge, and what capabilities are essential for successfully performing the job. So when a right fit, a right match exists between a job description and a candidate, only then can the match be successful. And this onus is based, you know, it's more on the recruiter and also on the interviewer. So as a recruiter, you will create a pool, then it is the interviewer's onus to actually select the best fit. The way this is done is with the proper identification of several attributes like skills, knowledge, abilities to fit the position description. So there should be an ideal match between these three elements and the job description. So if these are in the right cognizance, if these are in the right proportion and they are the exact amount required on that position, only then would there be a right fit and a long-term association. So the interviewer is the one who needs to keep this perspective in mind and move ahead. Let's move on. Before we interview, we just have seen that there needs to be a plan or a POA for the interviewer to be kept in mind. Similarly, the interviewer needs to screen in a very careful manner. The selection committee, if any, if it's a panel, if it's an individual one-to-one, the onus is on the interviewer. So these entities must screen applications for the most appropriately qualified applicants to interview. So a screening needs to happen probably through the use of application banks, through the use of the resumes, through the use of the CVs which have been sent. So you need to read carefully through these in order to screen. Once you've screened, you probably are ready to invest time, utilize time in the interview. So it would result in a waste of time, waste of money, waste of efforts. And if you're employing a selection committee, if it's a poor candidate that you're presenting to them, it would be a real waste of reputation, that is your reputation. So it's extremely important to do the pre-screening before we engage into an interview. Prepare key areas of inquiries for all applicants. So key areas might include a referral check before the applicant is brought in for this interview. Probably checking through what kind of experience the person has and all these particular areas. So all these particular things need to be checked as a part of the screening process. The other part is contacting of the applicants. That is the third aspect that you ensure is handled before any interview is conducted. So the interviewer or the recruiter must keep in mind certain aspects which need to be taken care of while contacting the applicants. The chairman or the designee contacts the applicants to invite the candidates for an interview and advises them of certain things. Certain logistical information needs to be passed on to the person who's been interviewed so that they do not wander, they do not miss the right times, and they are present at the time of the interview. So what are these in brief? Those are the time, the date, and the place for the interview, extremely essential. The expected duration or the expected length of the interview, parking availability and parking fees if any, if applicable, and the interview procedures. So with this, you are taking a proactive approach. With this, you are actually moving a step ahead in being in extending a certain level of comfort. With this, a prospective employee or a candidate has got a good idea of what's coming to him or her. They are aware of certain things like the venue. So probably if you present the right date, time and place, they probably can come in 15 minutes or half an hour early. If parking is an issue in those crowded cities, so probably a good idea or intimation of these things would also help. The person, if he's a very busy person, if he's moving, if he's you know, coming to the interview after finishing his job or taking a break, so that time the duration really helps. And of course, what all is required. So if there's a particular presentation required from the person, you're informing the person of all the nitty-gritties and the procedures of this particular interview. Now, as a part of the guidelines for interviewing, there are several slides that we're going to dedicate here, which the interviewer must understand. If you implement these particular steps as a process of interviewing, any interview is bound to be successful. So there are several guidelines that we are going to cite in this and the next few slides in a pictorial manner. Let us look at those. It's necessary to understand the very first thing as a part of interviewing, that the more structured the interview, the better. Following a structure is probably the single technique which is most likely to help in improving the reliability of a selection exercise. Adherence to a structure helps to ensure that for each candidate broadly the same areas are covered. There's a certain sense of uniformity there. With a structure, the interviewer can more easily monitor the progress of the interview, ensuring that the discussion remains job related. Moreover, adherence to a structure exposes gaps in the evidence collected, which might otherwise be overlooked. Careful consideration of pre-interview information, application forms or CVs is critical in identifying relevant areas to explore further. Some standard questions for all candidates can be prepared in advance where this is appropriate. The trained interviewers will be more aware of the potential pitfalls of interviewing as a selection technique. Maintaining a healthy skepticism and an alertness to the possibility of bias and stereotyping serves as an excellent defense against the subjectivity and personal preferences, which can also easily undermine the quality of evidence collected. Hence, it's extremely important to possess or have a structure around your interviews. Now, the next step, we are going to look at three important steps. We are going to enlist these particular steps here and discuss them in the next few slides. The first being profiling of the position functions. The next being step two, establishment of the specific requirements, followed by step three, which is establishing of the priorities. So we are going to discuss each step in detail with the help of diagrams in the next slide onwards. Well, as mentioned in the previous slide, we've looked at three different steps. Now here we are going to discuss and understand the first step, which is to profile the position functions. Important thing that we need to do here is we need to understand that the key to effective interviewing and hiring is the establishment of functions. By deciding upon the essential functions of the position, you will be able to determine the job's specific requirements. The other important thing is an understanding of the essential functions which are required or which are defined as the basic job duties that an employee must be able to perform in a satisfactory manner. Careful examination of each job needs to be done in order to determine which functions are essential to satisfactory performance. So this is extremely critical, extremely important as a part of the first step, that is profiling the position functions. Now, a few other things that we need to understand as a part of this first step is we need to also understand the factors to consider in determining if a function is essential. So what are the factors that are included here? We need to understand whether the performance of the functions is one of the reasons the position exists. So it's extremely critical that we understand this particular fact, whether the person is able to perform those functions and whether these functions, because primarily this is the only reason why the job position exists. So if the performance of functions is critical or is one of the reasons the position exists, and is the incumbent or is the person who is a prospect be able to, would the person be able to perform these functions accurately and precisely? The number of other employees available to perform the function, or among whom the performance of function can be distributed. So we need to understand this as well. We need to also understand the consequences of not requiring that an employee perform the function. Another deciding factor, essential factor here, is the degree of expertise or skill required to perform the function. Also, the time spent performing this particular function and the actual work experience of a present or past employee in the particular job. So these are important factors in to consider in determining if a function is essential, and we need to include these. Now we've looked at the first step extensively, that is profiling the position functions. Let us move to step 2, which is establishing of specific requirements. After you have established the position's essential functions, determine the specific skills, knowledge, ability, experience, etc. needed by the applicant to fulfill each function. So this is a crux of the second step that we need to understand as a part of the guidelines for interviewing. To gain a clear understanding of these requirements, we need to categorize them according to those items that are behavioral in nature and those that are technical. So a clear categorization needs to exist between these particular items when we are creating, when we are interviewing. So technical requirements refer to specific skills, expertise, or experience that your position demands. The behavioral requirements refer to how a person needs to act in order to fulfill a given responsibility. For example, adjectives like self-motivated, well-organized, attentive to detail need to be a part of the behavioral skill set which we need to look upon from the person. Please note that the behavioral requirements must be defined in behavioral terms. So a candidate needs to be framed or profiled in such a particular manner. For example, rather than listing good communication skills as a part of interviewing a candidate, as a part of the behavior attributes of the person as a requirement for a position requiring interaction with disgruntled students, you would do better to list the ability to listen and respond to students' complaints in an effective manner. So here you are particularly citing the exact behavioral patterns of that particular candidate. Let's move to the next slide. This is again a continuation of the second step, that is establishing of specific requirements. So here we need to try to assess each of the position's essential functions in the light of four important basic functions or basic questions. Questions which are enlisted here: what must an applicant know? So basically, what is it that the person must know to execute a job properly, to fill the description in a proper manner? What must he or she be? So what should the ideal candidate look like? What must they have, as in what skills must they possess? What skills are not negotiable, meaning what is needed on the day one, as in you cannot train the person. The person needs to have these skills before they join the job. So certain skills might be negotiable, probably certain systems which are very pertinent to your organization, which are generically known but not specifically known, can be negotiable. But if the person is poor with the communication skills, then this is definitely not a negotiable skill. Let's move on now to the next slide. The next slide is the last step in the process or in the guidelines for interviewing. This is establishing your priorities as an interviewer. So this is the last step in this particular guidelines. Here, as an interviewer, you want to ensure that in an interview you will gain information about the essential requirements. There is a great need to categorize your requirements accordingly, according to critical and desirable. So there are two important things. Critical means the must-haves or the non-negotiables. A prime example which I provided is probably communication skills. If the person is joining a banking industry or as a front office officer, or probably a BPO or a KPO, or is a person who is constantly interfacing with clients from abroad, then these skills become critical. So these are the non-negotiable ones, or they are the must-haves. So hence they are called as critical here or important. And the desirable requirements are the ones which are want-to-haves or can be acquired on the job. So basically, if it's a skill related to conflict management, which is not required by a person who is non-managerial in nature right now, so probably while promoting, these can be trained to the person, and these are desirable. So to reiterate, critical requirements are those which you absolutely must have, those critical factors that will eliminate some of the applicants from the interviews, and of course desirable requirements, which are the secondary selection criteria, which are attributes you would like an applicant to possess in addition to the critical requirements. So desirable requirements can generally be learnt on the job. After having discussed the guidelines, those were the three steps that we looked at as a part of the interview process. Now we look at the 10-step interview process. So here we need to, as an interviewer, understand that there are several facets, several aspects that can create an extremely effective interview. What are these? We've enlisted them here. First being creating of a relaxed interview setting. So it's extremely important that we create a very relaxed kind of a setting so that the candidates feel very comfortable when they are interacting with us as interviewers. A lot of times stressful settings are created, there's a lot of chaos which is generated outside the room, and these kind of factors make people to underperform. So it's extremely important that we introduce ourselves, we introduce the company that we represent, we give correct information about the interview, we brief them about the purpose of the interview, and all these specific steps which relates in creating of a relaxed interview setting. The next is follow a logical sequence. So ideally it's very important for the interviewers to follow a logical sequence, structure the interview in a manner, ask the right amount of questions. Let the candidate do the talking. A prime rule, many of the interviewers flaunt a prime rule, or they erroneously speak more. A rule of thumb is at least 70% of the times the candidate should speak and not the interviewer. So the interviewer should ask intelligent questions in a structured manner in order to elicit an open response. So open-ended questions are extremely important in order to understand how a candidate thinks, what is the mindset, what are the behavioral elements, what is the personality of the person, what is the behavior on display. So all these elements and the knowledge of technical skills is demonstrated when you let the candidate do most of the talking. The fourth question is, be mindful of your question. Always ensure that you ask valid questions, questions which are open-ended in nature, questions which actually elicit response about the specific job requirement. So do not ask ambiguous or do not ask non-specific questions. Always try to focus on those questions which give you answers related to the person's probable performance on the required or the requisite job description or the role. Take notes, extremely important. In one of the previous slides, we've observed, I've discussed that human memory is notorious for being reduced or probably being eliminated. At times we forget, we are forgetful people, we are not like computers where certain set of data put into the memory in the permanent hard disk lasts forever, or for a definite period of time. With human beings, with so much interaction, so many interactions happening, it's quite probable that we forget important elements of an interview. So for easy recollection, for easy reiteration, we need to take notes. The next point is, we need to close on a proper note. It's extremely important that we close on a proper note. We close by thanking the candidate, by providing the candidate a certain timeline that we would get back to. This is because even if the candidate has not been selected, still the candidate can, through word of mouth, spread the goodwill. That is, if we treat the candidate well, probably he will go out, he will market your company through word of mouth, he will tell other people through social networking, through blogs, that your company is one which cares for people even though he or she did not get the job. Also, if he or she were a close contestant, but you have found a better person, unfortunately the better person has not taken the offer, you can always ask or be in a position to request this person to join, and maybe this person might have a good mind frame, will have built a good brand name and an image, so might join your company. Check references is extremely important. Whatever claims have been made by the candidate need to be validated, need to be verified, whether the person, whatever has been stated in the application blank, in the biodata, in the resume, is precise. The person is actually what he or she has described themselves. So references know or have been people who've been associated with these people in the past. They know the person behaviorally, they know them technically. So it's good to check for references. Be proactive. You can move beyond the resumes to do so. You can in fact go to LinkedIn, wherein you have a feature of looking at connections who are, you know, people who know this person. Look at recommendations provided by those people, look at endorsements, probably if their contact numbers are available or email IDs, you can get in touch with these people and you can proactively check for the references. Post that through this, you know, through all this particular process, use your decision making skills, use your discretion. Try to check if you have data apart from your own interview, if you have findings from any assessment center which the candidate was a part of, if you have findings from any pre-selection interview information, if any other software related information, so you can use that and then make your selection. Decide on a salary with respect to whatever job description the job entails, and complete the recruitment packet. So this is a particular, you know, these are guidelines, this is the 10 step interview process, which actually you can, you know, move through in a logical manner in order to start and end the particular interview process.